This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for the week ending May 7th. Well, the grain markets in general had a huge week again as we pushed into new contract highs for corn and soybeans, wheat tagging along and reaching those highs from just last week. So here we are, basically a double top for wheat, but corn and beans just continued to surge higher. What was really interesting to watch this week, however, was as the market kept pushing into new highs, the bear spreads were working in corn and soybeans in particular. This time around, it was the new crops that were leading the way higher, which is unusual in a bull market. You usually see those front months being the leader and the bull spreads working in a bull market. That just stands to reason. But the focus has shifted over 2 acres, as there's quite a bit of talk about farmers across the Midwest shifting over to corn acres. More acreage going into corn than was projected in the March plantings report. That, of course, got soybeans pretty nervous, and they started to really spark higher, led by the November new crop. So bear spreads working in a bull market, that's a big red flag. And it should be the supply tightness, the demand, the upfront demand that drives the market in a bull market. And that has been the case for months. As we started this bull run based on insatiable demand, primarily from China, which really hasn't slowed down that much. They've shifted their purchases from soybeans over to Brazil, which is normal this time of year. But for corn, they're still holding those sales on the books for old crop. They haven't shifted over. They haven't cashed out, which they could make a ton of money doing, and then just shift over to new crop. But they haven't done that. So at this point, it still looks like they're going to demand delivery of old crop, which is going to be difficult for commercials to do, which is why commercials were bailing out of short positions coming into delivery period for the May contract. So there's a lot of dynamics still going on in the grain space. And it really centers around demand from China. If that were to falter, if they were to say, okay, we're just going to cash out, any hint that that demand base is declining would certainly change the dynamics of the entire grain space. But so far, we haven't seen that. There have been some reports about the Chinese hog herd having seen another round of African swine fever last fall and winter, which would have cut deeply into their breeding herds and would, you know, slow the progress of herd rebuilding in hogs. So that would suggest that the numbers really aren't there that would justify the kind of demand for feed grains that they've had trying to rebuild those herds. That is a report from USDA that was released last week. So, you know, we'll see. We haven't seen any evidence of demand destruction anywhere, for that matter, much less China. So I will say, too, over the years, China's been notorious for buying huge amounts of grain at all-time high prices, and then it sits there for 5-6 years, goes bad in storage, and they dump it on the market down the road trying to get rid of it. That's what happens to wheat for them. So we'll see if that happens again. You know, they're more concerned about having enough supply on hand in case they have, you know, crop problems or supply tightness somewhere. My guess is that's kind of what's happening here, that even as prices continue to rise into multi-year highs, that they continue to be aggressive buyers. And again, demand destruction has not really occurred that we can see at this point. And it's now become a battle for acres. For weeks, we talked about this back in February and March when we saw that China was just on a buying spree, that it would become a battle for acres, as we saw winter wheat plantings up last fall for both hard red and soft red. And, you know, you're still seeing a lot of acres going into CRP. You know, where are the acres going to come from? We knew that demand for all feed grains had been huge. So there was an interesting just dynamic going on already way back in the winter, that what would our planted acres be? And then, of course, the acreage report from March 31 was pretty disappointing when we saw that corn and bean acres weren't near what the trade presumed they would be given the price structure. So, you know, farmers are going to have to find the acres from somewhere. And at this point, if they're going to switch over to corn, it's at the expense of soybeans, most likely. Now, that's why soybean, November soybean contracts have taken off, trying to fight and keep those acres in production. That said, across the Northern Plains over the past few years, there's been a significant increase in soybean plantings. And that would stand to reason that North Dakota could make that shift pretty easily. However, drought across that region makes that decision quite a bit more difficult. Now, we've had some good rains just this past week, and as we speak, you know, this weekend, we are seeing some more rains come across, some big rains come across eastern Montana and through southwest North Dakota, and through the southern part of North Dakota. So that's a huge boost to them that have seen like zero precip over the last several months. So we'll see. That will certainly help topsoil conditions and get things planted and at least emerge. But with the subsoil as dry as topsoil, they're still going to need timely rains to get these crops home. So it'll be interesting to see what the June 30th crop report, the plantings report, says. That's a long time away before we get a sense of where we are acreage-wise. In the meantime, the Midwest is sitting on tons of moisture, especially the southern and eastern part. Iowa still has most of the state in dry conditions or short to very short in subsoil and topsoil for that matter, but that's mostly confined to the northwest corner. They too are getting quite a bit of moisture this weekend, and over the next 10 days are slated to get a significant amount of moisture. So at this point, most of the dry areas have had some rain and at least get the crop off to a good start. Export sales last week for wheat, 303,000 tons. It's at the low end of the range of estimates. We saw net cancellations of 96,000 for old crop. New crop sold net 399,000. So year to date, we're running 2% behind last year at 25.7 million tons. We've sold 96% of USDA's projections. Normally, we're at 105%. So it's a stark contrast to where we were just 6 months ago when we were well ahead of the previous year's pace. But our strong corn prices have pulled wheat prices higher. It's moved our FOB offers well above the rest of the world's FOB offers, even though the whole world prices have rallied sharply as well. We're still well above, and that's why our sales have slowed. Soybean sales have slowed to a crawl as well, as leadership has taken over at Brazil. So we're seeing most of the business go to the Brazil new crop. Corn export sales last week at 243,000, that was below the low end of the range of estimates. Maybe we're seeing some demand destruction start to show up. It's hard to say, but still our sales are way above last year for both corn and beans. For corn, 67.8 million tons, that's 81% more than a year ago. And soybeans at 61.2 million tons, that's up 55% over a year ago. It's just unbelievable. And outstanding sales, corn is still yet to be delivered at 24.3 million tons. That's up 81% over a year ago. So that's really where the market is focused, is, you know, here we have that much corn for sale on the books that have yet to be delivered, and our ending stocks are already just barely above a billion bushels. That's going to be very tight. And the market's going to have to shift some of that demand to new crop. And it has not done that yet. Soybean outstanding sales are running 10% behind last year, and wheat are 19% behind last year. So that's not the issue. It's corn. And corn has been the leader of this move all along. That's what's pulled wheat higher. And soybeans, of course, have tagged along with early issues in Brazil, but now it's just fighting it out to keep its acreage base intact. So I think we're getting pretty close to the highs. I would say that probably the crop report will set the high. We look for early May to be the highs for wheat, at least, and it's usually around the crop report. I think that will hold. I think we're going to, you know, the trade's going to want to see what USDA does for corn, old crop, ending stocks. It's going to have to make adjustments for export sales, and that will kind of put the final stamp on things, I think. With wheat, we're the most vulnerable to a price decline because we've got harvest is just around the corner. And we've had some pretty impressive rains across the southern and central plains. So even in the dry pockets of western Kansas, eastern Colorado, western Nebraska, they've had two major systems move through in the last 2 weeks. That'll shore up that crop and bring it home. So I don't see any more or yield declines coming out of winter wheat in the southern and central plains. The northern plains, like I mentioned, getting a nice shot of rain. So that could easily shore up winter wheat production across Montana and could set us up for another boomer crop for winter wheat and at prices that are just off the chart. So, certainly some optimism for the winter crop. Spring crops in a much more difficult position, but, if timely rains could bring that crop home as well. But it's very early for that. So I think that wheat, while we have had a stellar run, that will be the first to break and start to work its way lower into the harvest lows as we work our way up the central plains and into the northern plains for harvest. So taking advantage of this, looking for the crop report to set our high, I think we're very close to kind of just peaking out in the wheat space. With corn and beans, we'll probably settle down, probably get a decent correction into late May, early June, and then it just depends what Mother Nature dishes up. But the moisture profiles across the Midwest, for now, should at least get this crop through the end of this month and into early next month, and then we'll just see what the kind of rain structure we have after that. If you have any questions, you can call me at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.